If you want Colts talk all year long, you're in the right place.
Taylor hit, but he bounces into the end zone. Touchdown, INDY.
How can we, like you mentioned, as pillars, as guys who are leaders on this team, how can we turn that around?
Play action. Now he's in trouble, and he's going to be brought down. A sack for the Colts. DeForest Buckner back to the 27-yard line.
Never quit. I never not fault. I never not compete. And I will always continue to be a great, great leader, a great competitor.
Now he checks it down left side, looking for the end zone for Alec Pierce. And he's got it. Touchdown, Alec Pierce.
This is the official Colts podcast, giving you an updated look at what's new with the Horseshoes. In the Indiana Union Construction Industry radio studio, let's get the podcast started.
Hey, welcome into the Colts official podcast. My name is Jeffrey Gorman. J.J. Stankovic is here with me right now. Coming up on the show, Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts. Larry Overton will be here. We got a lot to go over. Going to discuss where the Colts are at with their quarterback situation now that Gardner Minshew has joined this club in free agency. Going to break down the current state of the Colts roster right now. We're about a week into the NFL free agency. Also, former Colts running back Robert Turbin, the big man, now an NFL analyst on SiriusXM. He's going to join the show later on, talk a little Colts and NFL free agency. And how about some Colts moments in the spirit of the NCAA basketball tournament? One shining moment. I tell you who's not shining in these moments. A couple of schools, Purdue, Indiana, even Missouri, I'll throw them in there.
Throw that shot in there.
That was a little shot at you, wasn't it? That's our Missouri alum, J.J. Stankovic, is here. But, you know, NCAA.
Hey, Missouri loves company. Missouri loves company.
Missouri loves company. I'm just saying, guys, they got smacked around in this thing. We had number one seeds falling. We had number two seeds falling. We had women's number ones falling all over the place. But this isn't a basketball show. But, J.J., I just want you to know, is your program okay after getting waxed by Princeton?
Yeah, we're fine. We're fine. But we didn't just get waxed by Princeton. We got waxed on the glass by one Caden Pierce, who is Alec Pierce's younger brother. He had 16 rebounds. He had like the Dennis Rodman special, like 16 boards, 9 points.
9 points and 16
kicked
boards.
Kicked our butts on the glass.
I love it.
Shout out to the Pierce family for producing some incredible athletes.
That's true, and I'll still take the older brother one-on-one in the driveway. You just can't beat the older
brother. Well, you know,
the
oldest brother plays basketball in Montenegro.
Really? So he's a
player.
Professional.
Yeah.
Boy, the Pierces did okay as far as athletics
sure
go
did.
In the family. Listen, let's talk some quarterback. Let's talk some Colts. Last week, we signed quarterback Gardner Minshew, J.J. One-year deal in free agency, been a backup and a starter in this league, playing 32 games, starting 24 across 4 seasons. He's 26 years old. He knows Shane Steichen, and he played under a year for that offensive coordinator when he was there in Philly, past couple of years in Philadelphia, rather. Now, listen to this. He's completed almost 63% of his passes for over 6,500 yards with 44 touchdowns and just 15 interceptions. And don't forget, JJ, it wasn't too long ago that this cat came into Lucas Oil Stadium and waxed our Colts, going like 21 of 22 or 21 of 23.
The fourth highest completion percentage in NFL history.
And last year, when Jalen Hurts went down, he threw up like 360-some-odd yards, leading that Philadelphia offense. So we're going to go over this Gardner Minshew signing and what it means. What is he the Colts' starting quarterback next season? I mean, I know it's off-season and everything, but they still have to find their guy, see if their guy's available, and you have a quality backup ready in Minshew.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew accomplishes a lot of things being in the building. The first thing is he is a competent quarterback who can – get you through a season. He's a functional starting quarterback in the NFL who has some upside. I mean, like you said, he's 26. You know Shane Steichen's offense. He's got that, you know, that it factor to him as a quarterback. You feel comfortable if Gardner Minshew has to start in 2023 for you. But the other side of it is, this guy was a really good backup to Jalen Hurts the last 2 years. You know, supporting him where he could, being a good teammate, having good conversations with Hurts in the quarterback room, translating for the coaching staff, doing all those things that you want your backup quarterback to do. And then when he needed to play, he played well.
Why is he available, JJ? Seriously, I love everything you're saying. You're exactly right. When he had the chance to play, he played well. Mm-hmm. Why is this cat available?
Yeah, I think Philly was up against it cap-wise. You know, they had to prioritize some guys like James Bradbury, you know, when it came to free agency. And you can't pay everyone. And Gardner Minshew was there on his rookie contract. He now is out of his rookie contract. it's not like the Colts signed him to an exorbitant deal.
Sure.
It's in line with what you saw guys like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield get in free agency, but I think the flexibility that Gardner Minshew brings you as someone who can start or be a backup, who can be in either of those roles and excel at them, that's not something you always see out of a former first-round pick, out of a former number one overall pick like Baker Mayfield. Those guys, I think I remember seeing that there's only one or two former first-round picks who are like longtime NFL backups, and I think it was Blaine Gabbert, was it? I think getting a guy like Gardner Minshew makes a lot of sense. It checks a lot of boxes. And then, like you said, Jeffrey, look, if you get to the draft and you're picking fourth overall, you don't really like any of the quarterbacks who are there. If you get to it and you have an elite defensive player who's available,
right.
I know no one wants to hear this. This is the caveat.
This is better
no
you than me because I was
it.
Going there. I was going there.
I know you were.
Say it, JJ.
No one wants
say
to
it.
Hear it. But if you get there and you say, if we draft this quarterback, this guy is not going to succeed. And what has Chris Ballard said over and over? If we draft the wrong guy, it'll placate everyone for about 4 months, and then everyone's going to see this guy play, and it's going to be like, why did you take him?
Right, right.
I know no one wants to hear it. All people want to hear is that the Colts will take a quarterback. Again, I think it's more likely than not that they will take a quarterback. But nothing is 100% right now.
Example. There's a handful of quarterbacks that are at the top of the list, a lot of mock drafts out there, and the experts are saying. Example, they don't do anything as far as trade-wise goes with that fourth pick. They get to the fourth pick, and the two of the four or five quarterbacks that are out there available are gone, that they covet, that Chris Ballard says, that's our guy, that's where we can have success with, but they're gone. The Minshew, that connection right there, does that say, hey, we're going to ride with this guy right now because we're not going to get our guy? But like you said, we've got a defensive gem at the fourth overall pick. My question to you is, what happens to this base? What happens to this city? What happens to the people at Lucas Oil Stadium if they're saying, you had a chance to draft one of the top quarterbacks and you didn't? I mean, what happens there? Because a lot of people have been saying, you'll lose the fan base. You'll lose the fan base.
Justifiably, fans would be upset. But you would have to truly believe as an organization that whoever we don't take would not have had success here.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you reach for someone and that guy doesn't have success, I've said it on this podcast before, that sets your organization back longer than just not taking a guy. If you reach for a quarterback, I mean, look at like, and again, this is coming from my experience. I realize this hasn't happened here in Indianapolis in a long time because the Colts have taken two quarterbacks, number one overall, who have been pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
But I come from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Bears trade up one spot for Mitch Trubisky because they had to get their guy, right? And drafting Mitch Trubisky instead of,
there's a couple of the
guys in that draft, or kicking it down the road, and maybe it wouldn't have been as successful if you went into that 2018 and you draft Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or whoever. But getting the wrong guy sets you back as a franchise. The Bears had a championship-level defense in 2018. That was one of the best defenses I've ever seen in my life. And they crashed out of the playoffs because they scored 15 points in the first round against the Eagles. If you get that wrong, if you get the wrong guy, it sets you back. But if you go and you say, you know what? We don't like any of these guys. And yeah, we're going to get killed. But ultimately, us drafting this defensive player is going to set this franchise up for future success.
Right.
You have to do what's best for the franchise, even if it's not the popular decision.
That's what I wanted to get at, is Colts fans need to know that if they've got a late first or high second or high third round draft grade on a certain quarterback and they don't nab that guy at four, the fans are going to be going, wait a minute, fill in the blank was right there and you didn't grab him. They need to know, like that Chris Ballard says, hey, we put the importance of these guys and where they're going to fit in as far as this NFL draft goes. And if they're late first, tie seconds, they're not going to take them at the four position. It just doesn't happen in any franchise will do that.
It does. I mean, no, but it does. That's the thing. It does.
Well, Baker Mayfield, I'm saying, like that's an example of somebody saying, hey, we need a quarterback. We need a quarterback. That's what the one I always go back to is Mayfield.
But if you – right. But I think it's more the, like think about the Arizona Cardinals in 2018, that year, where the draft went Mayfield 1, Darnold 3, Allen 7, and then the 10th pick in that draft was Josh Rosen. And the Cardinals are like, well, we need a quarterback.
Yeah.
And what did they do after that year? They moved on from Josh Rosen. And, you know, I don't even know where he is. He's probably on a practice squad somewhere. Like, if you get that wrong, it worked out for Arizona where they were so bad they got to draft Kyler Murray.
Right, back-to-back years,
right.
Yeah.
But getting that pick wrong and overvaluing a quarterback because, well, we need a quarterback, we need a young quarterback, and yeah, okay, this guy, we got a late first-round grade in him, but we think we can, you know, squeeze him in at 10. We think we can squeeze him in at 4. That's when you see these quarterbacks fail. Then if you, rather than sticking to your board and saying, like, look at what, there's some teams out there that needed a quarterback the last couple of years. The Atlanta Falcons come to mind. And in 2021, they were picking 4th, right? 3 quarterbacks went off the board in the first 3 picks. And they said, we don't really like Justin Fields enough to go get him. You can quibble with their evaluation of him because Justin Fields looks pretty good. But they said, he's not top of our board. We're not in a position to go get a quarterback right now. You know, we still have Matt Ryan there, but we need to get younger, whatever. Let's just go get the alien of aliens in this draft and go get Kyle Pitts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they drafted Ja'Marr Chase, I think people would be pretty happy.
Right.
Like, go get the best player on your board in that instance if you don't have conviction on the quarterback. Because if you get it wrong, it is a disaster.
It could be a 4-year headache.
It is.
You get it
and
wrong.
I think we don't get that here in Indianapolis because we haven't seen it go wrong with a young quarterback since, 1990 with Jeff George, when probably a lot of our podcast listeners were maybe not even born, maybe not even conscious of football yet, or if you were, the Colts are still pretty new here, you know, developing the fan base. Maybe you don't really remember the Jeff George era.
Sure.
But, again, getting it wrong is much worse than passing on a guy who you don't have conviction on.
At JJ Stankovitz.
Yeah, send me all your hate.
Send him all your hate is right. On Twitter, at JJ Stankovitz. Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, is coming up. Lara Overton's coming up as well. We are brought to you by our friends at WinBet. This is the Colts official podcast. Let's stick in that quarterback room, JJ. What is going on? I have no idea how to answer this if I'm asking myself this.
Glad you're asking me.
Yeah, I'd rather throw you on the chopping block than me. Nick Foles. JJ, what are they doing with Nick Foles? Are they saying, hey, we need you ready for camp? We've got 3 quarterbacks right now in that quarterback room with Ellinger, with Minshew, with Foles. What is going on with the veteran? Because when you mentioned Chicago after Trubisky, remember, Nick Foles was in Chicago trying to work his magic.
To get him.
Yeah, because
they had him compete with Mitch. Yeah. Nick Foles has accomplished a lot in his career. It's been an incredible career that Nick Foles has had. Super Bowl MVP. He's carved out, you know, over a decade in the league. That's hard to do. And hearing from Nick Foles last year when he took over as the Colts starting quarterback, he talked a lot about his relationship with Frank Reich. Mm-hmm. And he said, he was honest, you know, I'm here because of Frank Reich. And this was when Frank Reich was no longer with the Colts. And it didn't sound like someone who... Like, it sounded like he came to the Colts to support Matt Ryan and to be with Frank Reich and to work with Frank Reich. And those two things kind of fell apart last year. I don't know where that leaves Nick Foles going into 2023, other than right now, yes, he is under contract. If the Colts decide, we don't want you here, they can cut him. If Nick Foles decides, I don't really want to play, he can retire. Or if the sides come together and say, you know what, we actually could use you here, as a third stringer, you know, yes, Gardner, or a second stringer, if, you know, don't take a quarterback, that could be a really interesting thing to see. Again, if the draft plays out where the Colts don't take a quarterback, which, again, I know no one wants to hear. I keep saying this over and over again, and I still think it's more likely than not that the Colts will take a quarterback 4th overall. But if you don't, does Nick Foles have value as a veteran in that room who can, you know, bounce some ideas off of Shane Steichen and Jim Bob Cooter? There's not really a connection with Nick Foles to either of those guys. Same goes for Cam Turner, the quarterback's coach. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting conversation because I think a lot of people just assumed, all right, the Colts are going to cut him. Like, get him off the roster right at the start of the new league year. But they don't have to do that. You don't have to make these moves because the Colts don't need the immediate salary cap space right now. So we'll see. We'll see over the coming weeks what transpires of that. But right now he's on the roster, and that does leave some options open.
Look, Colts fans, you want to hire a CEO when you draft a quarterback high in the first round. And if the quality of those candidates is not CEO quality, they're more mailroom quality, you're not going to make a mailroom guy a CEO of a company. Is this analogy just idiotic or does it make any sense?
Yeah.
A little bit of both or more idiotic?
I think it's more the...
Hey, it's okay.
Well,
I like to.
Well, okay. You're hiring someone for a role that they wouldn't succeed
right,
in.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. When it comes up to the fourth overall and their coveted player or players that aren't there, what do you do? Colts fans, I'm just saying, anything can happen in the NFL draft. We don't know if there's going to be any draft trade moves. A lot going on. Chris Ballard loves to put those picks in his pocket.
Right. But he also knows when to trade up and when he needs to make that move. And right now, if he feels like when we get through the evaluation of these quarterbacks, I mean, there are three pro days this week for some of the top guys. I think it's Stroud, Young, and Levis are this week, and then Richardson is next week.
Nice. Okay. We'll keep an eye on those.
So, I mean, look, we're not even through pro day evaluations. We're not through those sit downs. We're not through top 30 visits of bringing guys into the building and having meetings and you know, testing with these guys here. There is a lot more evaluating to be done. It's not surprising that the Colts haven't made a move on this. Carolina had to make a move because you can't sit at 9 and say, oh, we'll take whoever falls to us, because you don't know if any of those guys are going to fall to you.
And they gave up a bounty for that number one overall.
I mean, they sure did. And are you trading Michael Pittman Jr. to go get the number one overall pick? Like, doesn't that have a net negative effect on the chances of that quarterback having success?
Right.
This is a delicate time of year because I think everyone just wants the Colts to say, yeah, we're going to go up and get our guy. Like, absolutely, Arizona, what do you want for that number 3 overall pick? But it doesn't always have to work that way. It could work out where we get to draft day and the Colts make a move up to number 3. Or we get to draft day and it's like, well, we know Arizona's taking the kid from Alabama, the defensive lineman.
We're going to drop down.
We'll stay at 4.
Right there
we
at 4.
Don't,
You're
we
right.
don't need to make a move because Arizona wants to get this guy, and, well, we like 3 quarterbacks, so we can take one of those guys. Or, hey, you know, we get to draft day, we like 4 quarterbacks. We're okay with any of them. There's not that much of a gap between any of them. Maybe you get to draft day, and we only like 2 quarterbacks.
Right. Who
and
knows?
Then we'll maybe try to find a taker for that 4th pick for someone who does like 3 quarterbacks. There are a lot of avenues, but going back to Gardner Minshew, this is how you operate in free agency as a good NFL franchise, is you plug holes so you don't have to do something in the draft. If you go into a draft having to fill a need,
that's where you reach.
Mm-hmm. If you go into a draft and you say, we have functional NFL players at every position, and we don't need, we get to the first round, second round, wherever it is, we don't need a guy, that's how you get good players. That's how you have a draft like 2018 or 2020, like the Colts have had, where the Colts in 2020, they only had that draft, they didn't need a running back.
Sure.
Well, Jonathan Taylor's sitting right there.
The top of the second.
Better go get him because he's really good. That's
MVP
how you operate.
MVP candidate. Yeah, I know that is.
Yeah,
how
that's
it
how
operate.
You operate as a team.
Hey, that's fun stuff. That's JJ Stankovic from Colts.com. Really quick, give me the importance of Ashton Doolin signing, which he did recently.
Yeah.
Big body receiver, obviously a special team gen. How does he help out this team? Why was it important to get Ashton Doolin back?
I think the special teams, you like having those core teamers back, and Ashton Doolin and EJ Speed, and both those guys have upside on offense and defense, respectively. Doolin, you know, we've seen him have that downfield speed element. Last year, the Colts couldn't get to it at all for a number of reasons. But the thing I like about Ashton Doolin, and when I asked him, you know, kind of who his biggest influences have been, the first guy I mentioned was Zach Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch Ashton Doolin play, and this dude is tough as nails out there. There was a play last year where, I think it was the week 1, where we ran Ashton along the line of scrimmage, and then he blocked down a linebacker on a running play, and he did it really well. Like, he cleared this dude out. And, like, he's a guy who's not afraid to stick his nose in to block a linebacker or a nickel or a safety on running plays. He can have some straight line speed. Is Ashton Doolin going to be your number 3 wide receiver? I don't know about that. But as a piece on this offense and as a core special teamer for Brian Mason to work with, I like it. You know, bringing him back makes a lot of sense. A guy who's really worked his butt off to get to this point as an undrafted free agent from a college that doesn't even play football anymore in
Malone.
A guy you're just happy first and foremost, and then you're happy to see him back in the building.
Absolutely. That's J.J. Stankovic, Colts.com. Check it out now. You can read the latest of what he's writing about. That is this offseason roster, where it sits right now, and what's it going to look like after the draft. But coming up, we're going to get back with J.J. in a second. We got a little free agency net outcomes. We're going to do that with Matt Taylor, voice of the Colts, and Lara Overton. Let's welcome them in right now. Lara, Matt, I'm glad you're here. Let's do a little free agency net outcomes. What do you say?
I say we do it.
Okay, here we go. Listen up. The additions. Quarterback Gardner Minshew, J.J. Stankovic and I talked at length about that. Defensive tackle Taven Bryan, defensive end Samson Ebukam, and kicker Matt Gay. Those are your additions. Okay, some subtractions from the roster,
yes,
Matt
sir.
Taylor. Matt Ryan, Stephon Gilmore.
The NFL giveth and it taketh away.
Okereke. Paris Campbell, both of them end up in the Big Apple. Brandon Faison, he goes back to the Raiders. Whoa. Okay, here's what I'm going to say about this right now. Last year at this time when we were talking, Lara Overton, and I said, boy, we've got Gilmore in the mix. We've got Matt Ryan in the mix. This is a 12-win
team. Unique
Ngakoue.
Unique Ngakoue too,
there.
Right? Remember that?
This is a 12-win team. Mm-hmm. That's where we were. Obviously not even close to that right there. So if I'm comparing last year's offseason and this year's offseason, addition, subtraction-wise, Matt Taylor, I'll start with you. What do you like? What don't you like?
Well, you've lost five starters, and then you've added one, the one being Ebukam. But it's kind of a, you know, I don't know what the right word is, net wash, because it's likely – that Unique Ngakoue's time in Indy is over due to that signing, right? The same position. Ebukam comes in at defensive end. So I do think, we talked about this last week, I do think Ebukam's a nice player. He's a consistent player. He plays the run well, plays the pass well. He's a very impactful guy, not just getting sacks. He affects the run, affects quarterbacks, affects hurries with his pressures. So I like that move a lot because the Colts bring in a veteran piece to help the pass rush while Pay and Adangbo continue to kind of come into their own. But you've lost three starters on defense, two of your best players on the team, and Okereke and Gilmore. Then you lost a weapon on offense in Paris Campbell. And so, listen, it's early, right? The roster building, the main part of the offseason that you build, the roster just started, free agency just started. You've got the draft coming up at the end of next month. It's all a fluctuating judgment, I guess, by the fan base and those that cover this team. They say, if you had to play a game right now, you know, where are you talent-wise? But I think the Colts are trying to balance where they're at as a team and where some of these players were at in their careers. But certainly they got a long way to go in terms of adding top-end talent to their roster.
Lara, I know they're not done yet, but boy, oh boy, Okereke, Paris Campbell to New York, those are some holes to fill. And don't forget, when you talk about Stephon Gilmore, it's like, that I know it's just on paper we talked about. Boy, oh boy, those guys made plays. And hats off to Paris Campbell for the full 17-game stretch. He was a starter all year, first time in his career. Big holes to fill.
I think even talent conversation aside, you lost an immense amount of leadership, experience, and professionalism with some of those departures. I thought that Matt Ryan brought a lot of that, brought, you know, a degree of accountability, and he really set the standard going into the season for what this offense wanted to be. Of course, it didn't come out and play to fruition the way that he expected, nor anyone expected it to be. But looking at Stephon Gilmore and his knowledge of being able to come in and say, this is how you operate as a winning football team. This is what you need to do to be a playoff contending type of team. Now you look at how young this entire team is going to become in the course of just one off season. So that's an area in which you really have to be sure those pieces you're bringing in are the right pieces, because this is going to be a young group, a developing and emerging group, and they're going to build the foundation. It does appear when you do see veteran players moving on to other situations, when you think about perhaps Unique Ngakoue is wanting to go to a situation in which it's a team that is a playoff contending,
sure,
type of team, maybe a team that's just one piece away, because that's obviously a goal of his. Same thing, we know Stephon Gilmore is a guy who would like to win another championship, so going the move to Dallas allows him to be in that type of position. I think the moves that you're seeing indicate that this is going to be a very pragmatic build in which Shane Steichen is laying a foundation for what the identity of this team is going to be, and also making sure players are in place who are going to be here to build around, and these aren't just plug-in guys for single year or maybe two-year deals. This is what he foresees being the long-term vision for the Indianapolis Colts under his leadership as head coach.
I really agree with that, and I think the Colts right now are trying to re-identify who their best players are, who are going to be their most impactful guys for next season. And I think the reason why Rick Venturi and I get along so well is because we see the game kind of the same way. And the one thing that I really agree with Rick and what he says, and using all of his years in the NFL, that experience, is that most NFL rosters are pretty similar except the top-end guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Guys 15 to 53 – your 15 to 53 are pretty close to what I have.
It's those top 15.
It's just, are my better players
better? It's the premium
better
players at the premium positions, right, Matt Taylor?
That's right. So are my do I have more better players, and are my best players better than your top guys?
Yeah, right.
And that's what's a little bit concerning right now with this offseason so far. Through 1 week of free agency, again, I'll double back to what I said earlier. It's early. You still haven't had the draft, right? Everybody's still freaking out about quarterback. That's coming. Trust me, it's coming. But, yeah, there's no doubt the Colts have lost some premium players and some top players from last year's squad, and they have yet to address them, and I use the word yet. It's coming.
Sure. Okay, well, let's stay there. Lara, I want to talk to you about this. Free agency. I can even bring this question into after training camp is over with cuts and whatnot. I want to stick to the offensive line. I want to stick to the wide receiver room. Do the Colts need help in those two position groups through free agency? They're going to get some help throughout the draft, but do you see them making a move, whether it's early or late in the game, for offensive line help and depth, as well as the wide receiver position?
I don't think it's as likely we see any of those moves in free agency. I think where you're more likely to see those additions is the last week of April.
Yeah.
And you use some of your draft capital on those areas with what you currently hold in terms of picks, and then also that critical undrafted free agent rookie market in which the Colts have really done well in discovering some players from that pool. So I think that it's most likely that that's where they're targeting, filling some of those areas, especially with the depth that you need in both position groups.
I brought up wide receiver and offensive line. Just right now, any concerns that you have as far as position groups going after this, after about a week in free agency?
Not a huge concern, but I am curious what the plan is for cornerback with the departure of Stephon Gilmore.
And Faison,
And Faison, yeah. Faison was a bit of a role guy and, of course, had great knowledge of Gus Bradley's system. So curious how they might attack that also with some of, you know, those higher-end draft picks, if that's an area where they're really evaluating. And I think that, you know, to Matt's point about Rick Venturi, I know Rick loves Ron Miles so much, and I do think that Coach Miles will have a strong voice in terms of evaluating the secondary talent, in particular the corner talent that's available in this year's draft. I know he's been digging in on players. He and I had a conversation just a couple days ago. So very curious to see what talent is available in maybe those second, third, fourth rounds for the cornerback position. I think that'd be, you know, draft capital well spent.
Right. I agree with you. I think cornerback depth is something you're looking at right now, because Gilmore was top-notch last year, and you got Rodgers, Flowers, who's going into year number two. Last year, kind of weird year for Dallas Flowers. Started the year on the practice squad, then had to play special teams, brought up because of a need, and then was inserted into the defensive lineup because of injuries.
Played well.
Yeah, he did. Tony Brown played only 9 snaps last year. Then you throw in Kenny Moore, and the reason why I say him is because he's looking to rebound after a season that was disappointing for him. He said publicly, you know, he was frustrated with himself at the end of the season, said that he and the coaches didn't necessarily gel, was kind of upset that he didn't have any picks last season. So he's looking to rebound.
I think he's still struggling to find his fit in the system a little bit after that Eberflus system was so well curated to Kenny's position and to his niche within the defense. I think this is a little bit different for him. And it is so easy to get comfortable when you have the same defensive coordinator for that, you know, long stretch of time. So I think that he will significantly benefit from just greater familiarity and a little bit of continuity going from one system in consecutive years.
And then the other for me would be wide receiver. You know, I think the loss or the departure of Paris Campbell means the Colts need more top-end talent. Colts have Pittman. They've got Pierce. Doolin's coming back because of his versatility on offense and special teams. Mike Strawn is still in the development mode coming into year number three. I think that area needs to be addressed with just more playmakers. But again, I think that's coming. You got to be patient on
that.
And
keep in mind, Lara, I love what you said because you're looking at things in the offseason and you're going into it. I want to bring this up. The 35th pick overall is so big and so important.
That's almost a bonus first round pick.
Yes, exactly. Well said. That's what I'm saying. This cat, whoever it is at 35, instant starter, has to be on a roster the way it is right now. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
Regardless of what position it is, got to play.
Right.
I think first round guys, especially with this year, this team, got to play, got to be a playmaker.
You're looking at the neighborhood. This is kind of in that area where you picked up Pittman and Taylor a couple years ago.
Correct.
Was right in that high second round
area. And Paris Campbell.
Yeah, Paris Campbell was in that as well. I'm looking at this year's draft. Should the Colts go with a quarterback with that first round pick? I'm thinking about, and I'm kind of tapping into a little bit of nostalgia and a great deal of optimism here, but think about the development of Andrew Luck when he was able to walk in the building with a guy like T.Y. Hilton. Mm-hmm. And you had those guys hand in hand over the course of their careers and how they were able to develop and grow being rookies within the same class.
Right.
And I think that could be a huge benefit for a rookie quarterback and for a high draft pick in wide receiver to have those guys coming in together.
Yeah, something about being the same age and having the same commonalities of being at the same place in your career, going through the same thing, the same learning curves. I think there's a lot to that. That's a great point.
At Lara Overton on Twitter, at Maytay Colts on Twitter, voice of the Colts, face of the Colts. They're in the studio right now. Really quick, guys, we're going to get on to a fun game with J.J. Brackett. J.J. Brackett.
He's pretty good.
J.J. Stankovic is going to talk.
Watch out, Lenardi.
J.J. Brackett. Colts moments.
Is he Gary's cousin?
Brackett. But listen, one last thing. I'm the only one that's thinking about this. You know what free agent I love coming in this year and is going to play pretty well?
Matt Gay.
No, look at him like a free agent, but he's not. You're going to laugh at me. Shaq Leonard.
Oh, I see your point.
Just off the field last year. Had a cup of coffee in some games, made some plays, then out for most of the year. Let's not forget, Shaq Leonard come back in, and the reason I'm bringing that up is Bobby Okereke is a great player, but we may not think of him like this. If Shaq, who's on top of his game and one of the top two, if not three, in the NFL at his position, if he plays Shaq Leonard like, we're not going to be thinking of Bobby Okereke because of what Zaire Franklin brings to the table alongside Shaq.
Just talking about Shaq Leonard, and you think about, oh, yeah, we talked about the surgery and all of that. He was coming back from that. And then he comes in and plays, finally gets back on the field, gets his face mask smashed in, breaks his nose, gets a concussion. I mean, that guy, when you talk about a guy not able to catch a break, that was Shaq Leonard all of last season and during the two different surgeries with the back and the ankle situation, and then also that on top of it all. My God, if anyone deserves kind of that comeback year, it is Shaq Leonard with what he has been through the last 3 years in its entirety.
Yeah, you're rooting for him. He deserves it considering all of the stuff he's been through off the field. But quite frankly, the Colts, as a team, they need it.
Right.
They need his playmaking ability because they have questions in the second layer of the defense and certainly in the back end, like we talked about. Also, safety, too. Throw in that because Rodney McLeod is still a free agent. What do you do at safety? Is it time for Nick Cross to, again, learn, continue?
Hopefully. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
I think Rodney Thomas has solidified himself as a deserving starting role.
He's certainly going to play. He's going to be a key contributor for next year.
Julian Blackman.
Blackman's back. You know, where's Nick Cross? That's another – we haven't really talked about that this offseason. Is it time for him to play? Because last year they were high on him,
Matt,
but it just
is.
Wasn't –
It is, Matt. Yeah. You go up in a draft to grab a guy. I don't care if it's mid to late rounds. You covet him for
athletic freak too.
Yeah, I mean you gotta get some production out of that right now. So listen, let's talk with a former Colt who's now flipped switches and is now on the other side of the camera lens and the microphone. Robert Turbin. Earlier today, Matt Taylor and I caught up with the former Colts running back. He's also a SiriusXM NFL radio analyst. Here he is, the big man, Robert Turbin. Let's say hello to Robert Turbin, former Colts running back, 2016 through 2018. Maytay, you remember this young man. Ran hard and is now on the other side of the microphone a little bit. He's a Super Bowl champ with the Seahawks, NFL insider for SiriusXM NFL Radio, CBS Sports Network, college football analyst. Robert Turbin, glad to see you on this side of the mic. How's things going for you?
Things are going well. Thanks for having me. Been quite a long time since I've had the opportunity to speak with you fellas, man. So, really excited. Feel good about it.
All right, good. Well, we're going to keep that phone number handy for you because you know the insides and outsides of this league as well as the upcoming draft. I want to start there with you, Robert. Is it an absolute must for the Indianapolis Colts to select a quarterback at the number 4 draft position or possibly move up for one?
I think so. I think that the Colts have explored, getting a veteran quarterback over the last, 4 or 5 years. It hasn't quite worked out the way that they've liked. I do like the addition of Gardner Minshew, though, which I think in some ways does give the Colts some real estate, for lack of a better word, to see what he can do. Gardner Minshew has shown some flashes now to be able to make some plays as a starter in this league. And I think the Colts are a really, really good fit for him. And so, if the Colts were to select a quarterback there, you could still utilize Gardner Minshew as your starter. If you feel like the guy that you get at 4 needs some time to develop, but it's really hard to sit a guy when you choose him that high,
right,
into the draft. But I know Colts fans are kind of, sick and tired of this. Maybe this patient approach that the Colts have been taking, especially with the quarterback position. But if you look at it, there's not that one guy that really separates themselves, that generational guy. And so I kind of like the way the Colts are approaching it. But to answer your question, I'd like to see him draft a guy at 4.
Robert Turbin. Hey, let's talk about Shane Steichen. Do you like this fit as the Colts' new head coach? They went through a thorough offseason search, a lot of weeks spent on that, and finally owner Jim Irsay and general manager Chris Ballard said, hey, Shane Steichen, you're our guy. What do you like about him? What did you like at Philly, what you saw?
Yeah, Shane is he's got a bright offensive mind, right? Younger coach, and so he kind of relates to this, I guess, younger generation and some of the new things that they're doing offensively, some of those dynamic plays that you're seeing, and even some of the basic stuff like your read zone and your run pass options and all the things that you're able to do off of those and really, really use your creativity, off of those actions. And I think Shane Steichen, brings not only some familiarity but a couple extra wrinkles that you can establish within your offense because of that.
Robert, I want to go back to the start of the new league year. Free agency was last week as we sit here and talk to you right now. What do you make of free agency around the NFL so far? What are some things that have surprised you, just some things that have stood out to you so far around the NFL as some of these top dollar contracts have been finalized and been made official?
Yeah, one of the recent moves that I really like is, Charlie Gardner-Johnson to the Lions. They really get to bolster up their defensive backfield with the addition of him and obviously with, Cam Sutton and others that they've already added to that DB room. Nothing else that's striking me from a surprising standpoint other than, Bobby Wagner, who's probably the top defensive player in free agency, still out there on the market. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, he's an older player, but he's still playing at a really high level. And when you're playing at a really high level, that means you're expensive. And when you're expensive, teams are real hesitant on, wanting to spend their salary cap on a player who's in their 30s, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And that's just the nature of the business that we're in. But, you know, you see the season that he's come off of. You see the last few seasons that he's come off of, and it's still quite surprising to see him out there in free agency. But, you know, I think teams, you know, overall have really done a really nice job adding to the core of their football team. You look at a team like the 49ers and Javon Hargrave. You look at the Seahawks and, you know, some of the acquisitions that they have made to continue to balance out their team. You know, I'll tell you the one that kind of surprised me at first was Daniel Jones getting the extension, only because I didn't think that he had shown enough to be able to get that deal. I thought he would get franchised, and I thought Saquon would be the one to get the extension. But the Giants are high on him. They feel like he has high potential, and he seems to be their quarterback of the future.
Speaking of being expensive there, Robert, what do you make of this Lamar Jackson situation? Why are more teams not sniffing around on him, and how do you ultimately see this playing out and where he's going to play quarterback next year in the NFL?
Yeah, this is an ugly situation with Lamar Jackson. He wants Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns completely disrupted the quarterback market.
No doubt.
You know, if you're looking at what he's done throughout his career and you compare it to Lamar Jackson is saying, look, you know, if he's able to get that type of contract, I deserve that as well. And you can't argue with that. I mean, that is the truth. If you're basing it on comparison, and what agents and players do is they are comparing themselves to others when it comes to negotiating, you know, these contracts amongst one another. And so it's an ugly situation. I don't know if it's going to get resolved with the Baltimore Ravens, but as it pertains to, you know, paying that top dollar, obviously it handicaps you at some point, maybe not immediately, but at some point it handicaps you, you know, when it comes to trying to surround the rest of your football team with high quality talent, and because you got all your money going to your quarterback. And so that's where the hesitancy, as we know, comes with the other teams. But, you know, the team that I'd like to see really take a shot on them is the Washington Commanders. And, you know, with the acquisition of Eric Bieniemy at the offensive coordinator position, I think you give him somebody he can work with and continue to develop with. They can really make some noise in the NFC East.
That's Robert Turbin, NFL insider for SiriusXM NFL Radio, CBS Sports Network, college football analyst, and Super Bowl champion. Hey, let's stick to the AFC South for a minute here. We got one quarterback that is doing all the things right, and there's three other teams in that division, including our Colts, that will have a new starter at that position. What do you make of the situation with the quarterbacks? Obviously, the Texans at number two, they're in need of one. And what's going down with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee?
Yeah, you know, with the Texans, let's start there. I think they're in a good position to be able to draft one of the two best quarterbacks who are in this draft, C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, and obviously they'll take the other depending on what the Carolina Panthers do. My prediction is that the Panthers will take C.J. Stroud, and then the Texans will then end up with Bryce Young, which would be a great opportunity for them and their future. You know, Tennessee is, you know, really it feels like they're just kind of in the clouds right now. Their future does not look very clear on the direction that they want to go. Ryan Tannehill has proven to not really be the guy, especially at this stage of his career, to be able to take you over the hump. And with Derrick Henry, he's still, you know, one of the best running back, in my opinion. He's been the best running back in the NFL over the last three or four or five seasons. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you're paying him a lot of money, and you're looking like you're heading into rebuild mode. And that's just the facts for the Tennessee Titans. And I don't know if they've accepted that because, you know, they want to be able to compete and compete for the AFC South. But the fact of the matter is they're not there. And Malik Willis, who they drafted last year, didn't show the promise when he got the opportunity
right.
to play during the regular season when Ryan Tannehill was injured. And so you're handicapped in some ways in that spot. Maybe they have a conversation with the Rams and see if Matthew Stafford is available, what his health is like. You know, we've heard the Rams potentially looking to shop Matthew Stafford. They seem to be cleaning house after getting rid of Jalen Ramsey and others. So maybe there's an opportunity there. But other than that, they have not prepared themselves well enough for when Ryan Tannehill is exiting out.
Staying on quarterback, Robert, do you have to have, as a guy that played this game and has seen the game evolve and you cover it so intently like you do now, do you have to have a dynamic quarterback these days in order to be successful in the NFL? I mean, is that where the game is going? And I say dynamic in the sense that guys that can just extend plays, make things happen off schedule, like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow, right? They're not the Michael Vicks or they're not the Lamar Jackson, but they're athletic enough to extend plays and make things, just be a playmaker when things aren't perfect inside the pocket.
Well, you mentioned those names. With those names that you mentioned, those seem to be the top teams in the league as well, right? You do. You don't have to have a guy that is extraordinary, but it certainly helps to have a guy like that if you want to get over the hump. And when you talk about the Mahomeses and the Burrows of the world, and you mentioned Josh Allen, these are playmaking type of players who are able to take their teams over the edge. Now, there's other ways to win. The 49ers are a great example of that, who can use maybe a mid-tier quarterback and still have a lot of great success with a prime-time defense. But does that get you over the hump? We haven't seen it work, for the 49ers. But other teams, like you mentioned, you could throw Jalen Hurts in there. For the Eagles, these are dynamic quarterbacks that are part of these football or part of these franchises that help with winning and winning consistently. And so, it doesn't have to be all world, but certainly dynamic enough to be able to make plays for you to get your team over the hump.
That's Robert Turbin. He was an Indianapolis Colt running back. He was one of our favorites from 2016 to 2018. Well-spoken guy, great perspective, very intelligent, as you can tell, about the game, Jeffrey. For you, Robert, when did you know you wanted to get into broadcasting post-NFL career playing-wise?
Yeah, no, I always did. I had my own radio show when I was in Seattle, my second year in the league, and my third. I did it for 2 years. It was called The Turbo Show, the partnership with Cube 93,
yep,
which was a radio station there. And as you guys know, when I got the Indy, got the opportunity to work with Anthony Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
We did a show together called Sports Locker for a season, which was really fun. So I knew I always wanted to go this route, and here we are.
Yeah,
God has blessed me.
What do you most enjoy about football now that maybe you didn't realize, or maybe you see the game differently now compared to being a player, being inside the locker room, and just being, in the trenches, so to speak, every day? Is there anything that you take from football now that maybe you see differently being on the other side of things?
Well, the one thing that I learned before retiring from the game is, I really learned to see things from both perspectives. And so oftentimes you have your player perspective, you have your management perspective, and you never really gel the two together. But the reality is, actually Frank Gore is the one who taught me this, because he would talk to everybody within the organization, and the reason for that is obviously relationships are important, but it helps you to understand when teams are making decisions, it's these are hard choices. Like, Colts fans are likely frustrated with the way things are happening, but hey, what would you do, if you were Chris Ballard and the general manager of the Colts, and you have all of these intricacies that you have to take into account when you're making, these decisions, salary cap and, contract negotiations and, trade offers coming your way and, you know, all the things that are happening throughout the season, it's hard. You know, it's hard to make those choices. And so if there's one thing that I learned towards the end of my career that I like to that I like about this side of it is that I get to actually, you know, share the perspectives from both sides, right, and not be, you know, so one-sided, you know, all the time, and really try to help our listeners understand that, you know, there's two sides to every situation. And, you know, these situations are it's not easy to say draft a quarterback. You know, it's not that, you know, it's not that simple. You know, there's a lot of complications that go into making these choices. So the thing that I enjoy the most is sharing the perspective from both the player side, you know, behind the scenes, but also from the management side behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, if you've seen Robert lately, this guy can still play. I mean, Robert Turbin still looks like Robert Turbin of old. Robert, if you go out right now and you get
I love it.
If you get 20 carries in a game, Robert, I'm saying you go for a buck 10 and a touchdown. What do you think?
I'll take it. I'll take that all day.
I love it. I swear I was going to ask him the same thing. I was giving him 22 carries. Could you bust the 100 mark right there? And he's like, absolutely. Robert, so appreciate it. Look forward to watching you in your second career. Obviously, thanks for all the fun you provided for Colts fans for a couple of years. And obviously up in Seattle as well as a Super Bowl champion. Again, you can hear him on SiriusXM, NFL Radio, and also CBS Sports Network College Football Analyst. That's Robert
from
Turbin.
A former
appreciate
NFL
the time.
Player
can't
who's
wait
now
to talk
covering
to you
the game.
Robert Turbin. You're going to hear a lot more about that young man on your TV dials, on your phones, on your radios and everything. Good job by him, Maytay. Hey, some of these guys say, hey, we got to do something after our football career ends. I like the ones that stay in and say, hey, I'm gonna jump in this pond and see if I can get my hands dirty.
And when, like you said, when you talk to Robert in the locker room from 2016 to 2018, you could tell, like, this guy – he thought about his answers. He was insightful. He was well-spoken, like we said. Not at all surprised that he is dipping those toes into that water. And so far, so good. He's on the rise, man.
Guys,
good for him.
Did you see J.J. Stankovic joins us again? Lara Overton, Matt Taylor, I am the Gore Man. And we're talking what we're talking is Colts moments bracket. But before I get there, did you guys see that Von Miller wants to be a GM in this league?
I did.
I saw Von Miller.
Von Miller is already on it. So he was at the NFL Combine with Brandon Bean, the Bills GM.
Sure.
Here's why Von Miller is already on it, ready to be a GM. At about 12:30 in the morning, I'm at the hotel bar at the JW Marriott, and I look across, and there's Von Miller schmoozing it up. That's what you do when you're a GM in the NFL.
If that qualifies you to be a GM, I should have been a GM five times
yeah.
over. Okay?
There's belly up to that
all, it's all about doing the schmooze at the NFL Combine, and Von Miller's already getting that training down.
Where's my corner office?
No, that's
Lara's executive of the year.
I know. What are we talking about? Spilling the martinis at the end. But it's along the same lines of Rand Carthon.
Bill Polian over here. I'm a Hall of Famer GM, and if that's our standard.
It's along the lines, I wanted to bring this up, we really never really talked about this, but Rand Carthon, a guy who used to be in this locker room and stuff, and said, hey, I kept my eyes and my ears open. I wanted to find out I'm not going to last in this league very long. Rand Carthon now running things down in Tennessee.
And what a job he is doing.
Sure.
I mean, he is overhauling things
right
now.
He's busy, brother.
Yes. Over that roster.
Yeah.
And then what are they going to do with Derrick Henry? What did they do at the quarterback position? Are those guys going to move up? We're going to find out. All right, let's have some fun. JJ Brackets, I called him earlier. We'll call JJ Stankovic this for this segment. It's called Colts Moments Bracket. Everyone is involved here because the spirit of the NCAA tournament and March Madness is here, so we're going to bust out a bracket on the top recruit. And I'm just sorry, I don't have a dog in the fight because I was at Saginaw Valley State, so it doesn't really matter way back in the day. But I got IU here. I got two. I got an IU alum here. I got a Missouri alum here. I got a Franklin College alum who basically was part one foot in the program down in Bloomington because you love the football and basketball program. So I'm gonna, guys, what the what happened to you guys in the past couple of days with these great teams, these great individual players, this kid Trace Jackson, whatever it is, making history as far as the first round of the thing, and the women of IU, guys, and Missouri losing to Princeton over there. Just go ahead, go at it before we go into our brackets.
Oof.
Where's Reggie Wayne?
I don't want to speak to Reggie. I don't want to speak to Reggie until later in the week because I have one message for Reggie now.
Is it two words?
No. Nope. It is take care of Houston
of
Hoosier Nation.
Oh, because of the Kelvin Sampson thing.
So I have a little bit of a 24-hour mourning period, you know, after this, maybe 36 hours since I have two losses to recover from. Then I'm going to make a trek down there to 87 West 56th Street and talk to Reggie and tell him to go take care of the Cougs. Take care of the Cougs.
I love it. And we talked earlier about Norm Stewart's not walking through that door in Missouri anymore. I'm sorry, but Missouri, you know, took it on the chin to Alec Pierce's younger brother. That's the bottom line.
It's fine
because you know what? At least Kansas got eliminated on the same day
That's
too.
True.
Just like Lara and Maytay are probably super happy that Purdue got eliminated.
No. All right, here's okay. I got it now. Now I'm getting fired up. Yep.
Feisty Latte Lara is back.
So I am not the type of IU fan that roots against Purdue in these situations. Now IU Purdue going head to head. Obviously, my allegiance is to IU, but having covered the Purdue programs in my many years working at in local news in Indianapolis, I respect the heck out of Matt Painter.
Sure.
And he is a phenomenal basketball coach. He's incredible to deal with. He is one of the classiest in the business. I admire so much of what he has done with that program, especially because, Maytay, there has been so much dysfunction at Indiana since the departure of Bob Knight. Of course, they got back to the national championship game with Mike Davis, but they have struggled to be relevant from a national perspective until very recently. We went through the era of Kelvin Sampson and Tom Crean and Archie Miller, and now we have Woody Beck running the show, and they're getting back, right? They're building things, but Purdue's been consistent. They're always a contender. They're always one of the favorites in the Big Ten. So I was devastated to see Purdue go down that way because you want the Big Ten Conference to do well in the tournament. Now we're putting all of our eggs in Izzo. That's all we got.
There we go.
Seems to always be the case.
Yeah.
Did you see Zaire Franklin's tweet from yesterday?
Yeah,
he was like,
so much
man,
beef.
I didn't realize how big the IU-Purdue beef is. He's like, I got to pick a side. Like,
well, because it's been a while since they've both been good at the same time. Yeah. That's why.
Well, IU got Purdue twice this year.
That's right. Hey, we're going to stick with that. Really quick, I want to throw this at you. Cam Newton is throwing at the Auburn Pro Day.
Why?
I'm just saying. Hold on a minute. Cam Newton throwing at the Auburn Pro Day. Lara, Matt, JJ, is he playing the NFL next year?
No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I got two no's and one yes. Lara, tell me why he will.
I think that as we saw last season, teams got really desperate for quarterbacks at some point in the year. I think that it's a position where you need some depth and you need. I mean, look at what Baker Mayfield has done in the last year. He gets Amazon primed over to LA and wins a game on Thursday night after walking. Yeah, seriously.
That's great. That is awesome.
One day delivery.
Put him in a shipping container.
Right, can you put your elbow underneath?
Yeah,
there you go.
And
you
now
fit in the box.
He signs a deal in Tampa Bay. Yep. I mean, look at if Baker Mayfield is getting a second stanza here in the league. I think that someone like Cam Newton,
a former NFL MVP,
certainly is worthy of probably getting a shot at a team that either is going to, need depth behind a rookie, or inevitably you're going to have, guys get banged up. So I think at some point next season, you'll see Cam Newton strap on a helmet.
No.
I mean, if he can throw a football, just watching him throw over the last couple of years has been painful. Just the
mechanics?
And certainly not as dynamic as he once was either.
And just the beating that he took over his time in Carolina. Right. He's a great player. Absolutely phenomenal player. I hope he plays because the NFL's better when Cam Newton's in.
Right.
Absolutely.
Hey. Love
I
the
hope
story,
he plays.
Right.
But
love
I don't.
Well, we got a lot of time before the draft and all these answers hopefully will be figured out. I'm following every storyline. There's a quarterback situation in New York as well in the Big Apple we're keeping an eye on. But that's for another show down the road. Well, now we go to the Colts moments bracket we've been talking about, folks. Here we go. We got four seeds on this. The one will be against the four, the two versus the three. Are you ready? Number one seed, Jonathan Taylor's 67-yard touchdown run to sink the Patriots in 2021. That is a number one seed. It's going up against a four seed, which is Paris Campbell's 35-yard game-winning TD to beat the Raiders in 2022. Maytay, start with you.
Yep.
Who wins that matchup?
Yeah, I think the spread on this line here, I think it's like a six-point spread. I got Jonathan Taylor's big, impactful touchdown run against the Patriots winning this matchup because if you go back to the context of that game and that moment, the Colts hadn't beat the Patriots since, 2009? It was a Colts home game, Saturday night game, I think it was, primetime game right before Christmas. The Colts were in a playoff push. Colts in that game, if you remember, they were having a hard time throwing the ball. Carson Wentz was struggling. Everybody was getting nervous. The Colts got out to a big lead. Here come the Patriots in the second half. I think it was a three-point game. Colts had the ball late, just trying to grind it out, get a couple first downs on the ground. Everybody knew the Colts were going to give the ball to Jonathan Taylor.
Gone.
And then blammo! Yeah. One of the best moments for the Colts.
Glances
in recent
over
memory.
The shoulder yeah. to be sure that no one is
right.
going to catch him.
It
That's one
classic.
Of the best images
and
right there.
And while glancing over the shoulder, still hit the top speed of any player in the NFL in 2021. He's glancing over his shoulder,
bananas.
Then he's looking to the sideline to see if anyone's telling him to go down, and he's still going faster than any player ran.
Oh,
that year.
That's
that was
great.
Incredible.
Okay, I'm thinking that's everybody's one seed.
Yeah.
You're going to pick that one against Paris.
Yeah. That's a 10 Paris win right there.
It's great job by Paris Campbell, the 35-game winning TD, but you are out right now.
It's
okay,
a good
let's go around
year.
The table again. We're going to number 2 seed right now. Between the 2 and 3 seed is going to take on that number 1 seed of JT's 67-yard touchdown run to sink the Patriots. Here we go. Number 2 seed, we go back to JT. His monster game against the Bills in 2021, setting a franchise record with 5 TDs in one game. And here we go. That's up against the 3 seed. The Colts upset win over the eventual Super Bowl champion Chiefs in 2022. What say you, Lara?
Okay, as much as I love the 3 seed here because it was such a complete effort, the Jelani Woods touchdowns in that, the defensive stand to close it out, I'm not sure that we will witness another performance like what we saw from Jonathan Taylor in Buffalo in 2021. That was one of the most incredible athletic performances, period, not just football performances, singular game. That was absolutely unbelievable. And for the height of where the Bills were at that point, and then all the storylines that went into it, you've got Frank Reich going back to Buffalo, and mm-hmm. you know the Colts were at that point starting to find form in the 2021 season. That was absolutely incredible. And the locker room speech afterward, and you know that was, I think, too, where you started to see JT solidify himself as the best back in the game that year.
I don't have any disagreement there, except I do just want to highlight that game against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts held the eventual Super Bowl champion, who scored 38 points in winning the Super Bowl. They held them to 17 points, their lowest output of the 2022 season. And what Gus Bradley showed me in that game is that he is very good at developing game plans for certain offenses and tweaking things for certain offenses, which he did against the Eagles
mm-hmm.
when the Colts played a completely different style of defense
shut
against Philly and, you know, shut down the run game of the Eagles. Against the Chiefs, it was, we're going to keep Mahomes in the pocket, we're going to plaster in coverage on the back end, and we're going to make it hard on Mahomes. We're going to get him to hitch a couple times, and that's where he made the mistake at the end of the game that Stephon Gilmore wound up picking off to seal it.
Bingo!
That game, for me, like, if you're wondering why Gus Bradley is still the Colts defensive coordinator, go back to that Chiefs game, go back mm-hmm. to the Eagles game, look at how different those two defensive game plans were, and look at the outcome of those, mm-hmm. holding both those teams to 17 points that combined to score a billion points in the Super
That's
Bowl.
That's a 2 versus a 3 seed, Maytay. Where are we going?
Am I the deciding vote here?
I think so. You are.
I think it's a close game. The only problem with the upset win over the eventual Super Bowl champion Chiefs is that the Colts just weren't able to capitalize off mm-hmm. of that. They weren't able to do anything with that. I know it was an early season win, week 3, first win of the season, but the rest of the season was obviously a roller coaster after that. So I am going to give the nod to Jonathan Taylor's monster game. And we forget, he scored 5 touchdowns in that game, but he did it in the first 3 quarters. He didn't play in the fourth quarter because the Colts were blowing him out. So 5
Sit down,
total.
Son. You've
That's
done
right.
enough today.
That's right.
Became
That's
the
right.
only
Sip your Gatorade. Enjoy
only
it.
Player in NFL history to record 175 plus rushing yards, 4 rushing touchdowns, and 1 receiving touchdown in a single game.
All
so
right.
that is a historic game, historic moment for Jonathan Taylor.
Let's figure this out. Is it upset city for this one? The number 1 seed taking on the number 2 seed. Here it is again. Number 2 seed, JT's monster game against the Bills in 2021, setting a franchise record. 5 TDs in that game versus Jonathan Taylor's 67-yard touchdown run to sink the Patriots in 2021. Guys, we got a 1 versus a 2. JJ, starting with you.
Yeah, I mean, since it's a moment, I'm going with the singular moment of JT's touchdown.
All right.
But my God. I mean, there's not like a singular moment from that five touchdown game that stands out to me because it was just such a dominant performance from start to finish.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll probably take the moment at JT's
number
touch.
One.
Plus, that game was in prime time.
Right.
The Bills game was a
playoff
Sunday afternoon,
push.
Rainy day.
Yeah.
Mate, where are you going?
Yeah. You know, I kind of agree with JJ. I'll go with the moment, the run, the signature moment
That's
of
it.
The last 3 years.
It's
over the game. So
it's
I'll take
over.
The top-seeded Taylor run.
But let's go to Larry Overton. What would you say if I picked on you first?
I'm going number two.
You are?
I'm taking the
monster
two seed.
Game.
I am because of a number of different factors, one of which being the Bills have been much more playoff prominent in recent seasons. So although there is all the history between the Patriots and the Colts and all of that, the Bills have been one of the better teams, one of the best teams
sure.
in the AFC, in the entire league over the last few years. I think that was overall truly a bigger win, despite kind of the rivalry, the perceived rivalry that there is between New England and Indianapolis.
There you go.
I'm going with the Bills. That defense has been incredible. I mean, let's be honest. The New England defense wasn't what the New England defense really has
sure.
been of late or has been in historically what it's been of late. So I'm still going with the two seed. I'm still going with those five touchdowns.
Yeah.
It was just unbelievable. One of the best, again, performances I've ever witnessed. And I just thought, again, it really solidified from a national scale, people taking Jonathan Taylor seriously as a contender alongside, you know, the conversations with Derrick Henry and all of the very best backs in the league. Yeah, I'm sticking with the two seed.
Good deal. Let's keep him on bubble wrap, Jonathan Taylor, this offseason.
Are you the swing vote?
I'm not, because I want to keep it at an odd number, so I'm not going to do that. But if I did, I would say, Matt, if I did, why not? Mate, your call of that 67-yarder was great.
It was.
And it's logged in the back of my
second
head.
Second and eight. For the Colts. Wentz under center. Hands off to Taylor. Taylor, big run! He's at the 45, 50, 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Touchdown! Jonathan Taylor, 67 yards to the house! JT Painter!
Woo! I got some goosebumps there.
Now, hold on.
I got goosebumps there, Mate.
So I was down on the field, so I can't. I'm not sure, but did
don't
you
screw it up? Don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. Don't screw it up.
Did you go full Kevin Harlan spread across?
Oh, yeah.
Did you
yeah.
do that?
Right here.
Where
this
you're
is,
like, lay out, lay
that's
out.
What,
this is
that's
my
what
time.
This is.
Shut up.
I love it. Great call. That
don't
will,
step on the call.
That will go down in history as one of the great Matt Taylor calls. There's a bunch of them. So that's what. We're just going to give it. Mate,
the number one
JJ,
overall seed.
Lara, you guys voted on this thing. JT's 67-yard TD run is the Colts moment bracket in the spirit of the NCAA tournament. Unlike what happened with our West Lafayette friends and Bloomington friends.
I think JT gets the John Wooden Award
we
in
did.
This because
he's the Zach Edey of the Colts moment bracket.
One shining moment. All right, there it is. Coming up this week on the Colts Audio Network. Hold up, folks. We got our NFL Combine content continues. We're going to leak out with chats and interviews from NFL insiders all over the country. Inside the Draft is coming back this week as well. Having a live chat with NFL Draft insider Shane Hallam from the Draft Countdown. We also have interviews with new Colts assistant coaches, including special teams coordinator from Zionsville, Brian Mason, offensive line coach Tony Sperano Jr., and quarterback coach Cam Turner, and also The Last Word every Friday, the Colts Offseason Radio Show. Friday night, 6 o'clock, 93.5 and 107.5. I do that with Matt Taylor, me and Mate, recapping the latest with the Colts. It's time now to say goodbye, but first, we have Mate's random thought of the week,
it's
guys.
Random.
Let's get involved with this random thought and give our thoughts on Mate. What do you got?
Yeah, let's go quick, because I know we're running long here a little bit, but, you know, there was something weird on Twitter from Dan Orlovsky last week about the usage of a towel, your own towel, post shower, how many
yes.
times it's acceptable
Ooh.
To use the same towel
yeah.
after you bathe.
Mm-hmm.
What is that number for you? How many times is it acceptable for you to use the same towel without washing it after a shower?
I'm going to go with Lara first on this one. I just got to collect my thoughts.
Because he said like 30 times.
I got to collect my thoughts.
He uses the same towel 30 times?
I'll find the tweet
no,
for sure.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, too many times.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just go. I'm going to spit it out and then you guys go. On the second time I use a towel, I'm already thinking of, hey, I've got to swap this out. And if I'm in a pinch and I didn't get the new towel out of the cupboard or whatever down the hallway, then I got to use it a third time. That's the most. Two is my limit, more most likely, if my memory serves me right, and
right.
I remember to grab a towel three times, and I'll do it. But I know that's the last of that, and that's going in the tub where the other towels right. are going to get washed eventually.
Yeah, well, thankfully for me, like my wife is towel. She's on towels.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I really never get to this point, but hypothetically, if I just was a bachelor and lived by myself, probably three, but certainly I'm never using
a week
someone else's towel.
Oh,
like if someone
no,
else's
no, no.
if someone else's uses my towel that I
oh,
just
what about
use,
the wife?
I'm,
what
I
about
Tucker's,
the husband?
No, 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 no. I
oh,
use
yeah, I
no.
That.
If someone else uses the towel, doesn't matter. I'm out. That's going to the laundry.
I'm with you, Lara. I'm not afraid to use.
Well,
yeah,
and here's
yeah,
the
yeah.
thing is, like Tucker has like. Massive man towels. They're like a bath blanket.
Yeah,
so
right.
sometimes, you know, if it's a little chilly,
I like to wrap
myself up in it. And then he's always like, who used my towel? And obviously, it's not Tugboat. Like, so I know, like, I am really guilty on that. I would say I use my towel over the course of, like, I don't know, 5 days or so was probably an average. Like, I certainly am swapping it out at least once a week. Is what I'm going with. And then there's, of course, the day or two that I steal Tucker's towel.
Steal Tucker's,
right
which
over.
Is
yeah.
always fun.
Yeah.
It's acceptable.
I would like to say I do it more frequently. I wash them more frequently. But we do so much freaking laundry
right,
in our house.
Right.
It's just constantly.
Kids running around, so
yeah,
you got to keep
they're just
clean, yeah.
so much laundry. We're doing
right.
laundry like every single day.
And we just throw the towels in there.
No, because, well, if we throw the towels in with the other stuff, our dryer stinks. So we have to do the towels separately.
The moisture.
We have to put the towels on, like, time dry for an hour and 40 minutes. If we throw them in with the rest of our clothes, then the rest of our clothes don't get dry. So
I get
it's
that.
Probably, like, once a week, which I know it's gross, but it's not Orlovsky once a month.
30 times. Yeah, that's ridiculous. What do you guys do?
30 times with the same towel.
What do you guys do out there? Is it one time? I want to know those people that go one wash, one shower, one towel off.
See, that doesn't
gone.
Make sense because you're clean.
That's
you're,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, I
that's
mean, you're just it's just water. That
that's
you're
why I'm not afraid
yeah.
to use my
with,
girls
you know?
Because you know
yeah.
she smells better than I do and she's clean. So I'm like, yeah, I'll grab this one. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So
yeah.
that's how I am with cups. You know, like if I just drink water out right. of a cup, I don't need to wash it. It's water. Just put it back into
what
the
about your germs
the cupboard.
Oh no! See, you get away.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's for another podcast.
What?
I'm sorry.
May take
no
way.
That one may take.
I know.
We're going back to that one anyway. Listen, Maytag.
Hey, the
washed,
lesson here is
washed,
don't use the cups.
Yeah,
at
then
Maytag
your wife
house.
Use it. Your kids use it. What if you have a
no,
cough?
The,
what if you
kids,
have congestion?
The kids don't use my cups. They okay. use their own cups.
Gotcha.
But if it's just me and I know I'm going to go back to that cup in like a day, just and it's water, just put it back.
That's Maytag's random thought of the week. We do it every week right here on the Colts Audio Network. This is the Colts official podcast, brought to you by our friends at WinBet. Find them at Colts.com.
I'm gonna get blasted on
you
this.
You are, and
I'm
I hope you
blasted.
Are. Find this young man at Colts.com and on Twitter at JJ Stankovic, at Maytag Colts, at Lara Overton. I'm at Hey Gorman. We do it week in and week out, keeping you up to date with the Colts' latest moves, and there are plenty to be had in the next couple of months. So stick around. See you guys down the road.